I swear, I'm seriously so close to being healthy. I'm like right there on the edge.
How are your nodes?
My nodes are fine.
Nodes are fine.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't had any swelling at all in the past however long. The antibiotics.
I've
been off of those for a week, but then I'm taking a full serving of echinacea capsules.
Oh.
So trying to hit it the natural way and see what happens.
Yep. Echinacea, man.
Yeah.
You got to remember to eat food with those.
Right. I wonder if that's my problem.
My experience was always with it where if I took it and didn't actually have put a meal immediately on top of it, just
what constitutes a meal?
I don't know, some sort of bread.
Like a Clif Bar? How about two Clif Bars?
A Clif Bar. I think a Clif Bar would do it.
Because that's what I have for breakfast every morning.
Oh, nice. Clif Bars are great meal replacements.
Not as good as Balance Bars, but.
No, I miss. You know what I miss?
What's
the
that?
Old Clif Bars with like the Java, the old espresso beans.
Oh, yeah.
They used to make an espresso bean.
Is there anything? Yeah, because
they don't have the espresso
bean flavors.
Yeah, they don't have the espresso bean Clif Bars anymore.
They have.
I used to do a lot of racing, and those were my go to.
Yeah.
Because it's like a hype up, right? You know, you do a Doppio or
right. caffeine.
Yep. And caffeine's not really a drug. It's a little bit of an enhancement.
I think of it as a necessity. Caffeine was making me feel weird for a little while. Like I laid off it for a couple of weeks because I was like, I must have developed a new sensitivity or something. But I've been having it again recently and it's felt good again. So yep. I think I'm back to my Viso.
There you go.
But the Clif Bars that have caffeine are the peanut toffee buzz.
Yep.
Because that's the buzz.
Isn't there a mint one?
Yeah, the cool mint chocolate is the other one. Those two are caffeinated. So good in the morning.
A wee little bit of punch.
Yeah.
I wonder why they eliminated the espresso bar.
I wonder if there was a thing about coffee. Like maybe people didn't think coffee was healthy or maybe like branding or maybe coffee beans got too expensive. I don't know.
I'm going to guess money.
Maybe money because like I was sponsored by like Pete's Coffee.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Like Pete's was our sponsor. You know Pete's.
Pete's.
Yeah.
Which is actually the original Starbucks.
Yeah.
Really? And,
yep.
Yeah, like they sold the entire operation.
Yep.
Excuse me. And rebranded as Starbucks with like a brand new thing.
Huh.
So, and Pete's, I believe, they didn't kick them out of Seattle, but they like went to San Francisco to restart because the new Starbucks was hooking up Seattle.
Yeah.
And so they had like a non-compete clause.
Yep.
Like Starbucks couldn't come to...
Yeah,
okay. To San Francisco, I think, for like 5 years or something like that. So
yep.
Just enough time for Pete's to get their foot in the door.
There you go.
Yeah. I think Pete's is still the nicer experience.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love Pete's.
Yeah.
I mean, different atmosphere.
Right. Right.
You know, it's not so rushed.
Totally. They're not selling you
it
John
feels
Mayer
like corporate,
CDs.
Corporate coffee.
Do they use real words for sizes?
Like ounces? Like numbers?
No, just small, medium, large.
Like you don't have to speak Italian?
Can I have a large? Just fuck you. What? You know what I mean? Just
I always, whenever I go into a Starbucks, I'm always like, I would like a 16-ounce black coffee.
Yep.
And they used to say, oh, you mean a grande? And now they now they just say, oh, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Don't say no whip, man. It's a, you know, it's a whole different story.
No, but...
Yeah. Watch me whip it.
Yep.
Nene?
Exactly.
Okay, are we ready for some news?
Why not?
Wait, where is it? News. Oh, here it is. Okay, here come our headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
We have one headline submitted this week by friend of the show, Logan. Logan Smith, he is probably our longest running friend who has listened to us since the beginning. Logan, who lives down in California. He sent us this article, which jobs have the highest rates of depression, and with it a little message saying, hope you're okay, buddy. The tagline of this article is, give that bus driver a hug, using data representing about 214,000 Western Pennsylvanians. The study's authors calculate the incidence of depression across 55 industries. The highest rate of depression, 16.2%, was found among bus drivers. The researchers found that the jobs with the highest rates of depression tended to require frequent or difficult interactions with the public or clients and have low levels of physical activity. They also they have a link to 50 years of research on the bus driver profession, bus driver well-being, which I assume is outside of actual Pennsylvania. But the takeaway being that there's that combination of frequent or difficult interaction with the public and low levels of physical activity. Apparently, it's a grinding combination, and
plus the repetition, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, day in and day out.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that article a few weeks back of there's an acronym we were trying to figure out or whatever. The thing of you let somebody drive a bus for a while, it'll crush the spirit right out of them.
Oh, yeah, right. Because, Dan from TriMet was talking about that. Yeah. He's actually confirmed to come in a couple of months. So
excellent.
I'm looking forward to having him back.
That'll be fun.
But, it's the sort of thing, it's basically like, you know, be nice to your bus driver.
Yeah.
I'm always really impressed when I ride transit and I have a driver who's like super chipper or super happy. I assume maybe they must be new, but but some people have good secrets. Just like we were talking about, like not getting down when you're dealing with traffic on a bicycle. Like just the same way, when a bus driver deals with the public, they have to figure out how they're going to deal.
Yep.
And so I respect anybody who does that. But yeah.
And there's that thing, like in Portland, it's at least, and it was the same up in Olympia when I was there. Most people will thank the bus driver as they're getting off.
That is a regional thing because when I was in Boston,
oh no,
not a thing. I tried it actually. I was riding transit. And I think I yelled to the
what
front.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And they're like, shut up!
Shut up!
Get off the bus!
Get off the fucking bus, mush!
But no, it's the sort of thing where people need all the encouragement they can get.
Right.
So I try and do the best I can when I'm riding transit to take care of people. Yes. Yes. That worker is, in fact, a person.
Really?
So, yeah. but this is an interesting read. It's from The Atlantic. So if you're curious, we'll have the link up. So there's that.
Neat.
So now, you know what we have a shit ton of?
We got something?
Yeah, we got a shit ton of something. And that is... So I'm assuming that Aaron is listening to this down in Mexico, where he's, I assume...
At the fish shows?
Drinking out of a Coke... Oh, is he at...
No.
No.
Fish is in Mexico right now, but I don't think that's where Aaron
fish
is.
Fish the band, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking he was drinking out of a coconut sitting by a pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, good for you, sir. Good for you.
Hi, Aaron.
But yeah, we have so many people, because we said last week, or the week before, I guess... send us your mail, and people did. So I'm very, very happy about that. So let me just tick that off. Phil in Alaska approves of the beards. I think it was the picture of all of us standing and looking at beards. And he says, I'm now feeling somewhat less manly. I don't think that's possible, because this is Phil in Alaska, who, as we have said, rides on a bear and also wears bear pelts and will kill you if you look at him the wrong way. He's a very manly person. But he says he feels somewhat less manly as he has trimmed his own beard to a minuscule bit o' nubbin, in his own words, using a number 4 clipper.
The number 4, that's not bad.
Number 4 is like what I use for my head.
Yeah.
he says he feels naked. So there's that.
But at least you get less condensation up there.
Nice. That's true.
You know, it's less freezy.
Condensation. He has, you know, the first time we had it, well, we only had him on the show once, but... my goal is someday to get up to Alaska to meet Phil in person.
Yep.
And then do like a face-to-face interview. Because
yep.
The last time it was Skype.
Oh, there you go.
And I don't know. It's like it was probably in the season where it's all like all dark all the time. But
there is no sun.
his picture that we used for that episode was him with an ice beard. So
nice.
Enormous beard, all full of ice. Yeah.
Yeah,
we don't get those around here.
I get a little bit when it was really chilly here.
Yeah.
But,
well, you were outside more than I was, too.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're just riding back and forth.
Right.
But, like, yeah, it's, you see those ice beards and you're like, that must be, is that all snot? No, it's just, you know, you can see your breath.
It's frozen.
All that stuff is sticking to my face.
Frozen, yeah, frozen breath on your face.
On your face.
Yeah.
Then you just come inside and wipe down.
That's right.
That's the fun one, yeah.
I always do that at the end of a misty morning.
Yep.
I'm like, how have I held this much moisture?
Oh, it's amazing how much water
you can fill an 8-ounce cup.
With, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When I was living in New Hampshire, I had a huge beard in New Hampshire one time, and in winter, like, I actually had to go acquire a hair dryer just so that I didn't have to deal with frozen beard in the morning.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going outside with a wet beard right now. It's -20. I'm not going to fuck with that.
That's a really useful idea, actually. It's like, when would I use a hair dryer? When I have an enormous beard.
Yeah.
You know, apparently, when I steal yours,
I think they cancel out. I think
Johnny K sent us. Is it pronounced ASCII art? ASCII. Back when people would make pictures out of characters.
I've never attempted
characters.
To pronounce it, and I don't think I'm going to start now.
Okay. So he sent us art of beards, which is fantastic.
It's worth looking at.
Oh yeah, most definitely. It's like a full page actually. He also thinks cycling is good for your back pains, which Aaron was complaining of having some back pains. And I think I tend to agree. As long as you're cognizant of what's happening with your back, you don't want to stretch muscles that aren't ready to be stretched or put yourself in a position where you're going to hurt yourself farther.
Yeah. As long as it's not like an overuse injury.
Yeah. If it's like repetitive from cycling.
Right.
But that seems like it's pretty hard to do. You'd have to be like an off-road, like a trail riding sort of thing.
Or, Trans Am,
Right, or that.
Don't sleep and just destroy yourself for a while.
Yeah, or your tires sliding up from underneath you with ice.
Right, that'll also do it, yeah.
But I feel like there is something about bicycling in most situations where it does seem to be kind of therapeutic for me. Like if I have a bad back, I can kind of work out some of that just by the exercise. Yep. And kind of, yeah. Joe, have you dealt with that?
Yeah, not back pain, but, just as far as pain and concern, it's like always moving, staying flexible.
Yeah.
And that's one thing the bike does.
Right.
It's because you have different levels. You can basically either go push yourself really to the limit or you can just back off and respect the body.
Yeah.
So it's just all about, it's not how fast you go all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Right. So staying supple.
Right.
Being supple.
Keep yourself supple. Soft and flexible.
Flexible.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be a yoga master and stuff. But,
right.
So
I'm not.
No. Neither am I. I mean, if I threw my leg around my neck right now, I'd get a cramp.
You'd probably stay there.
Yeah. I would be cramped up. Yeah. Big yogi.
Not even going to try. Yeah.
So just keep pedaling a little bit, but just don't push it.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do with bike fit.
Mm-hmm.
Some people some people get on bikes and they're never comfortable. They're like,
make or break it.
Exactly. Yep. Centimeters, millimeters.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I finally got my geared bike running again a little while back, and I've been riding that. And it's remembering, after spending like a year just kind of by happenstance on single speeds or fixed, and just because those are the only bikes I had, getting back and realizing, I can use my small ring in the front.
Yeah.
I can just spin a little faster, and it'll be great. You can move just the same speed, but it seems to be way less. You're not pushing into it as much.
Right. I'm not straining my knee or something. Right. Yeah.
I mean, that is one of the fun parts about fixed is, hey, fuck you. You have a gear. Keep pedaling, dumbass. But
it's one of those things where, you're riding with gear guys, and you're like, you just have to appreciate each other.
Yep.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Right.
So my knees pretty much never bug me.
Uh-huh.
Believe it or not. Knock on wood. Somewhere.
I'm sure, yeah.
I know there's wood around here.
Somewhere.
Knock on a plasterboard.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, that is a thing, because the stereotype of anybody who's been riding fixed for a while is that, like, their knees are going to blow out. But it seems like you say that, you've been doing it consistently, right? So that's probably something. Like, the muscle tone, if you've been doing it a lot, your body's gotten used to that. It's got like protective muscle around your knees, keep them safe. Is that feels like it?
Yep, exactly. You build a foundation and gears are perfect though. Sometimes, it's always good to have fallout. You just want to pedal and coast and stuff. But one thing about fixed is when you keep riding, you can't coast.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's a lot of exercise.
Yeah. It forces the legs to be moving and keep moving. Yeah.
That's why you're in such good shape.
I'm trying to get there. I got a little beer weight on me.
Well,
don't we all?
Yeah. Indeed.
I'm starting to get that inch.
It's the winter too, right?
Oh, yeah. it's just hibernation.
Right. Yeah. Joe, what's the longest you've been off the bike?
The longest I've ever been off the bike has probably been a couple months.
Okay.
Maybe I want to say like a month.
Injury related or travel or?
Yeah. I broke a collarbone.
Okay,
and
you referenced that earlier.
Yeah, so I broke some. Was that
a bike wreck or?
Yeah, one bike wreck, but a lot of Criterium crashes and stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
I knocked some teeth out.
Hey,
yikes!
So I lived in Vegas.
Yeah.
For a while.
Uh huh.
I raced out there, and Las Vegas is pretty tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really cool area, like cool in temperature.
Right. Right. It's warm more often than not.
Yep. And I've been out in like 120.
Okay.
Riding and stuff. But I used to race out there quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so I used to do a training Criterium.
Uh-huh.
And it was like the world's out there.
Yeah?
Like the world championship.
Really?
No lie. And these guys would go out, and I was new there. And it, you know how guys get
in
sports. Uh-huh. Everybody's competitive.
Sure.
So, yeah, we were doing a training race, and we're going around the circuit, and there was this one down section, and it got super wide. And I was just staying in the back because I was relaxing, and I didn't really want to move up. And I'm just going to stay right here and everything. And I saw these guys, like, touch, make contact.
Right.
And the one guy flicked him, like a track flick.
Just like, boom, I'm pushing you off.
And then he pushed him off, and then I saw it all, like, on the side of me. I'm on my left, and I'm coming through, and I thought I was going to make it out of it, and it just caught my back wheel.
Oh. So you were, like, collateral damage to this guy pushing some other guy.
Yeah, so basically I started doing a nose wheelie for a bit.
Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
And your brain is repeating one word that entire time.
Yeah, and I'm like... And so,
dandelion.
So wear a helmet, right? But the helmet was way back here, of course.
Oh, okay.
Did nothing, but it's like a hockey slide. Just bam. I eventually, like, made contact with the curb with my face.
Yeesh.
Yeah, and I was like, damn, you know. But anyways, I didn't have gloves on. It was pretty sexy, though.
Yeah,
I bet. Because I ground. You ever seen, like, you know when you ground stuff down and it's like white?
Yeah.
Yes.
You got down to the bare metal on your skin.
Yeah.
So I ground both palms down.
Ew.
I knocked a couple teeth out.
Uh huh.
And and I broke a collarbone and stuff. But I was like, oh, all right. I don't believe in doctors.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm a home medic.
Okay.
So, because you go there. Well, unless you really need a doctor.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, there are a lot of things that you could kind of sort of fix yourself.
Yeah.
So is that what you did in this situation?
Yeah, so I just basically went home. I
kept
talked
it clean,
to my aunt.
Kept it covered?
Yep. I had mummy hands.
Okay.
I had mummy hands.
Yeah.
I wrapped them in mummy, you know, like
the bees coming out of your mouth or whatever?
You know, yeah. Okay. And I was like, my hands were like, they'll be.
That was awesome. A mummy reference, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. I know.
Don't let that one slide by.
You're quick, dude.
That's crazy, man. That's
That's a hell of a crash. But you're back on after a month?
So, yeah. Oh, well, I was a week.
Oh.
That crash.
And this is home medicing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So basically, it was like I was climbing like Red Rock Canyon. I don't know if you've ever been around like Vegas.
But not
Red
too
Rock,
much.
Red Rock Canyon.
I have been to Red Rock, though.
So Red Rock Canyon up through Vegas.
Yeah.
It's a bit of it's got a half marathon back there.
It's real pretty.
Yeah.
This is not the Red Rocks where they have all the concerts.
That's in Colorado.
No. That's in Colorado. Yeah.
Exactly. But I was like, I had mummy hands and stuff. No bees coming out of my mouth, but I felt like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Going up a hill with like just flat hands on the bars? Or
yeah. So basically, yeah, I was
trying to steer with your wrists.
I was like, oh, fuck.
And were you fixed at this point then?
No, I was geared.
Geared, okay. Yeah.
I used to ride for a team in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And CSIP. You know Chris King?
Yeah, the component maker.
Yeah. So Chris King and CSIP's. Formed a little bit of a group.
Okay.
And he helped them build his bikes up. So
okay.
It's all bike community, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a couple handmade bikes from them.
Right. Nice.
Mm-hmm. But
I feel like I would like to put out just at this point that the Sprocket podcast does not recommend that you home medic because we can't vouch for your knowledge of medicine. So just take that as an anecdote. But
yeah. Brock is not a doctor.
Right. Consult with your local web physician. But, Joe,
good family members.
You seem to be in good repair, and you're still on the bike. So
thanks.
I'm impressed.
Yep.
Yeah. Congratulations. I'm glad it wasn't worse.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because when I got up and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
No kidding.
I was like, oh no. And so I'm like, because I thought, you know, all my teeth were gone.
I'm going to lose them all. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, because I split the lip a little bit. But I kind of went, I spit my tooth out.
Uh-huh. That's a weird feeling.
It was just
right?
One?
Yeah. It was one. Because I've kind of, that's how my teeth have been.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
There you are.
I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, knocked this out when I was a kid.
You'll have that.
But I don't want to go back to the dentist and be like, hey, make me pretty.
Right, exactly.
What the hell? It's not about being pretty.
Yeah, and you
seriously.
Can still eat food. So,
it's all about being love inside.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Longest was a month. Month and some change, probably.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting.
Because they're like, hey, you know, I couldn't ride with a sling.
Yeah.
But eventually I started riding with a sling.
Okay, yeah.
I just was like training with a sling.
Yeah. It's
one arm bandit.
Yeah.
I separated my shoulder a few years back.
Really?
Like, outside of dodgeball, like, and just, you know, kind of, it was just being stupid. And the next day, it's I had to drive down to Wilsonville in a stick shift car.
Uh-huh.
And it was my right shoulder that was fucked. So that was really interesting. But
yeah.
Got home from work, like, left early. It really sucks. I can't move my arm. Went to Zoom Care, got the x-ray and all that. And like, yeah, you know, it's separated. Just, do you want to buy a sling? No. Do you want any pills? No. So what do I do? Like, I don't know. Just let it do its – just wait for it. It'll be fine.
Just work it out. Yeah.
Fuck. Like, that was my plan anyway. And
somebody, how do I drive?
Everyone convinced me to come here. And like, yeah. You kind of just throw it in and – yeah, I had a carpool at the time so I could pop the clutch and say, hi, can you put it into fourth for me?
Oh, okay.
But the MMR was that night.
I'm not sure exactly how loud the train is in the recording, but I'm just going to do this because
– oh, my God. It's the East Portland Traction Company. Oregon Pacific.
Nice.
Awesome.
From here, let's talk about trains for a little bit.
Speaking of trains.
Tim, we mentioned Tim earlier from the Pedal Shift Project, the Pedal Shift Podcast, and other things, pedalshift.net. Tim says, about the Amtrak sleeper car, he says, loved the report on the roomette. Turns out Kimberly and I will be overnighting in one on the way to and back from Florida in a few weeks. She gets a Garth Brooks show, and I get there and back in a sleeper car. Sounds like a fair trade to me. Fair. We'll call it a draw. Insert friends in low places joke here. I'm not sure what he's referring to.
I think it's a song.
I think I'll just – well, I know the song, but like the – does that mean he's sleeping on the top bunk and she's the friend in low places? I don't know. I'm not going to work it out here. Top Hat is the name of a commenter. I believe that's not their real first name, but who knows? Top Hat says, Amtrak ought to allow cargo bikes. I say it again. I wish they'd allow cargo bucket bikes. I would take my kids all over the country if I could check my bike on the train. They only allow bikes that fit in their approved bike boxes. It frustrates me because the other oversized recreational equipment, like skis, can be checked, but not my bike. It's frustrating to have to rent a car on the other side of the trip because you don't have a bike that can fit your family. And we are car-free, says Top Hat. So, thoughts?
Yeah, make
awesome.
Put an extra car on the back and just let people put bikes on. I mean, shouldn't be that tricky,
right? Yeah, and I mean, especially in a town like Portland, there are so many awesome bikes. It would be great to have, I don't know, a different method than U-Haul to get them from one town to another.
Right. Yeah, you go up to the Dead Baby Downhill or anything. Just any of the out of town events, so you got to find a way to get bikes up there, and that involves internal combustion.
Amtrak needs to monetize the freak bike market.
Yeah, really.
Just saying.
Yep.
Just saying. Nathan chimes in as well. He says, wonderful show piece about overnight train cars. When I finished high school, a friend's dad who worked for VIA, V-I-A, that's the Canadian Amtrak, or maybe Amtrak is the American VIA. He drove the train, I think. Got us from Toronto to Montreal and back on the sleeper car. A wild, mostly sleepless night of cards and martinis. Great memories and nice to recall them. Remember shaving on the train and maybe having a shower. They wouldn't give us each a breakfast, though, as they were short and we hadn't paid. I was wondering about that because I used Amtrak points for our sleeper car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, are they going to short us anything because we're like,
you didn't
we're
give
doing
us
this
money
for free. we got very good service.
Excellent.
But apparently, yeah, Nathan did not get breakfast on the train. Sorry about that.
I mean, I know your trip was pretty short and everything, but did you get a shave and a shower?
I did. Well, I didn't shave. But I did get a shower. Yeah.
There you go.
I think I may have described that on another show, but it was great. Suffice to say, it was way better than any RV shower I've ever been in.
All right.
Yeah, comparable, but better.
Yeah, nice.
Nathan also says, they did let us smoke between the cars. We were 18 or 19, and we thought it was cool. Nathan found us through Pedal Shift. So.
Nice.
Doug Robertson, he's one of our donors. He's blogging at Four Seasons Cycling. He took some time off from blogging, but he's back. So we have a link, just like we do for all of our donors who want that. And if you are a donor and you don't have a link to something you're doing or something you like or something, you know, it doesn't have to be your project. If you want us to link to a YouTube video, we'll do that. Down at the bottom of each page at thesprocketpodcast.com, each time we put up a show, we have the links of all the donors, and you can find Doug's blog, Four Seasons Cycling, under his donor name, Doug Robertson. So thank you, Doug. And thanks to all of our donors, which we'll thank again in just a little bit. Anna says saddle sores are dumb, and there are some solutions. First, some solutions. Diaper rash cream is one thing. Hydrocortisone cream, which can probably help cure them and fix them up. And if I pronounce this correctly, salic...
Mercurochrome?
Salicylic acid or benzoyl peroxide cream, a.k.a. the stuff for acne. So there's that. Also, if you're really badass or you want to feel like you're like, you know, on some television show, alternatively, crush up aspirin and mix it with a little water to make a paste because it's the same stuff. This is the cheapest solution I've found and seems to work when you feel the hint of a lump, pain, or redness. Again, I can't recommend that you use pharmaceuticals in any way other than the fact the way that they're labeled, but that does sound kind of badass. So, also, padded shorts, much like cushioned saddles, can put pressure on your bits as you ride. Basically, the padding can shift slightly, just enough to basically rub your butt skin together onto itself and pinch, kind of like a pinch flat inside your tire. I've never challenged that theory, so maybe someone else has input on it. We'll never know till we try. I'm not really a padded shorts guy, but I can see, you know, some people like them.
Yep.
One time, a customer at the shop, and I believe this is Anna from Clever Cycles, claimed to use Neosporin before every ride. Someone else said coconut oil, which is a good lubricant for many things. And we stock Bag Balm as chamois cream. Bag Balm, originally meant for the udders of cows, but good for skin of various kinds that needs to be protected. So... any thoughts on this? I feel like we've talked about this already, David. Joe, do you have any thoughts about chafing or soreness?
I don't have any chafing or soreness.
you got
chamois cream?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so if you know, because you wear the Lycra, sometimes the friction.
Right.
Know, so like,
right.
You see what I ride with?
Yeah, you got some kind of...
I can just wear pants.
Are those denim?
These are kind of... Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and so do you wear padded shorts?
I used to.
Okay,
not anymore. Yeah, I used to be like your Lycra.
You're just in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So now it's like I'm hard ass.
Okay.
It's like, but I mean, it's like, you know, it's all the friction. Friction kills. So the saddle.
Right.
You gotta minimize the damage.
Right.
So some people like the longer distance they go, you have to, you know, keep things good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I mean, if you get a blister.
Yeah.
Like on the under, like right in the wrong place.
Totally.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. I got a blister running the other day and like just on my heel. It was like, you know, an inch wide or something.
Oh, heels are worse.
Yeah. I have bad luck with my body, apparently.
And, you know, you just got to be, you know, you got to be like respectable to like the skin.
Right.
So,
right.
You know.
Anytime you're using your body for pleasure, you also want to use lube.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yep.
So,
coconut oil.
Yes.
Moving on.
For many things. Dom from One Bike World. Is it Dom or Dom? I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. OneBikeOneWorld.com. An unusual saddle to avoid the unpleasantness. He's talking about the Manta, which is, have you seen this?
Is it the one with the cutout in the middle?
It's, do you have the show notes there? You might be able to pull it up.
I'm pressing the button.
It's a funny, my finger is on the button. It's a funny shaped little saddle, and it's like it almost looks, I'm trying to think of what it looks like. It's weird.
Is there a big cut out in the center?
Oh, no, it's a bunch of horizontal, it looks like a shitty rib cage that you sit on.
Oh, when Anthony's rode.
Yeah. No. Anthony rides on, he's on the Tioga.
What the hell is that? Is it a grill? It's a grill by bike.
Yeah.
It's the Manta saddle.
It's got like the wide thing, so like when you move your leg, like it actually pivots.
Yes.
So it's like you...
It's forgiving. So it's like the whole...
Apparently.
Right. I wish I could describe this. I think a shitty rib cage is probably the best description.
Sitting in a rib cage.
Dom says, I've been using the Manta saddle, and it's quite glorious. Looks fairly ridiculous, but some friends also suggest it works as an anti-theft device because no one thinks it's a saddle, and they won't ride away with it. Also works as a great conversation starter from people who get rather confused. Traveling last year down the Rhine River in Germany, where you see lots of people cycling with panniers, they don't really interact because there are so many. With my saddle, however, it definitely broke a fair amount of ice and led to some fun experiences I wouldn't have had with a Brooks B17 that I used to use. So, Drew, the welder, also says,
Pause.
Let's pause.
It's just right across the way.
Oh, yeah, in the what looks like a closet.
really happy with the quality, or, I mean, the assumed quality.
Yeah.
The quality of the experience. The machine is working so well.
And it's probably much quicker on the response, too, when you're doing stuff.
Like, I can scroll and record at the same time.
Holy shit.
That was a problem with the last machine because we were using Chrome.
Yep.
Even though it was outdated, and it's still,
RAM.
RAM.
Tricky business.
It's all about RAM.
It really is, man. It's when I was selling computers, it was the big thing is get as much RAM as you can right now.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, max this out because – you can either wait a few years
just
and
get it all.
Just do it now.
Yeah.
Just spend the $200. It's going to make your life.
I probably should have done that with this one.
At the same point, you probably get what, 8 stock.
I think
in
it's
there?
The 8. Yeah.
That's a bunch, man.
And for what we do.
Yeah.
It's going to last forever.
Yeah. You've got a couple audio tracks running and a couple tabs open.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. Yeah. 8's plenty.
Yeah.
But
sometimes we would get the GarageBand has stopped playing or recording because, you know, and it had like 3 tracks it was trying to aggregate.
Yep. It's always fun when you have a computer that's doing too much stuff, so it just stops doing things.
Yeah. Better days ahead, man. Better days.
And always hoping, man.
Joe's a lot of fun. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he really is. I'm pretty actually stoked on the way this has been going. That's some good bullshit.
Words are good.
Yep. He was telling me, he was like, man, I'm a little nervous about it. I'm like, oh, just go bullshit about bikes. It'll be great.
I went too far.
Yeah. You saw the sign. I told you went too far.
Did you find the mop bucket?
Yeah. Oh, man, I went too far. Shit. What are you going to do?
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It happens, dude. That leads me to a story of, like, having to pee on a bike.
Oh, wait.
It's a complicated thing, dude.
Yeah?
Peeing on a bike, yeah.
Wait, so... sorry, those are... There you go. You got it?
I got it, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I can never figure that out.
That
I just
happens,
hand it to Brock.
And that technology. Happens to everybody, yeah. I feel really
everything.
Bad about that.
I know. I'm a product of technology.
There you go.
It's one of those things.
Yeah.
Wait, what about peeing on a bike?
Trying to pee on a bike, it's you can't do it on fixed gear.
No.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
I've never even tried it on a
bike.
You're
just going to be like flopping all over the place and stuff. It's one of those moments. It's a bro moment.
Well, it's like, your legs
I'm like,
can't...
I'm going to try this, right?
Yeah.
It happens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, what the hell did I just do?
Right. Well, if you have a free wheel, then like your legs aren't moving and you can kind of...
aim off to the side.
Make space. Yeah.
So, you know, I rode home one night and, I was riding home and it was raining.
Yeah.
I was in Levi's.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I'm just going to let it fly.
Yeah?
In my pants.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Just kind of like,
I
couldn't get any wetter.
I'm just like, yep.
And now I'll be warm.
So I'm like,
I warmed up a little bit.
So eventually my pants started to sag a little bit, and I'm like, okay. You know, nothing was going to hold it up.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, do I take my pants off and just chuck them to the road or ride my shorts? You know, like Lycra.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking Lycra, but... So I did not want to get pulled over, so I didn't do that. So I just kept pulling them up.
Yeah.
And nobody was hurt.
Yes.
And
that's kind of the baseline, right?
I didn't have too much friction burn.
There you go.
But I had to pee. So when you're on a free wheel and you're riding, you need a friend.
There we go.
To push you.
In
a race.
Keep your speed up.
Okay. So if you're riding.
Not just in Petapalooza.
No.
Dude, I need you to push me while I piss. I'm going up Hawthorne. It'll be great.
Yeah. Yep. Hand up, dude. Right?
Yep.
And of course, somebody's going to pass you right there. So you got to be careful, right? Yeah. And just, it's like, I got sprayed.
Watch out on your left.
Yep. It happens.
Yeah. Drew the Welder says saddle sores could be a boil or abscess instead of the actual lymph system. So maybe not nodes, maybe just, a boil or carbuncle. A carbuncle is a collection of boils.
Yeah.
Multiple boils in one place. So best to stop riding, he says, until it goes away, which I have done. That's basically the primary reason I didn't ship my bike to Boston, because I thought I would always have this enormous lump on my ass.
Right.
It's gone now. I'm very happy about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
On your
nice.
Lump-free ass.
Thank you. he also mentions the Renko for easy train travel. Amtrak, he says, requires a bike to fold or collapse into a size that could be considered luggage, but they don't specify an overall maximum size. Thanks to Ellie Blue and her experience with the folding Brompton, it does not have to be bagged either, although a bag is a good idea. which is what Tim over at Pedal Shift calls stealth mode. Mm-hmm. I think he and I need to consider a co-branding thing because we mention each other so often. The lower level of the train, says Drew, has plenty of room to store your bike even with full occupancy. A few bike modifications would be needed for this Rinko system, but you would never have to drag a cardboard box to the station again. Rinko, so the link is there.
I clicked the link, and it's basically just kind of sticking your frame between the wheels and stuff.
Yeah. This one is particularly designed, I think, to kind of break down in a very compact fashion.
And probably reassemble without having to, like, restring wires and shit.
Yeah. But I was thinking about this. Like, this is what Adele did when she, I think, was down with her family met her in San Francisco last summer before she and I met up for our summer tour. And she just, like, took as many pieces off of her bike as she could and wrapped them all up in a bed sheet. So
there you go.
This seems like a fancy version of that. Scott down in the Bay Area says everyone should just get bent. That's with an apostrophe. Don't take that the wrong way. In my life, he says, I have ridden a recumbent, a bike with aero bars, and a normal road bike, and it was in that order. The recumbent was my dad's, and the aero bars came from my mom. The recumbent bike maker Cruise Bike uses the term bikeism to refer to the stigma and banning of recumbents in competition that they trace back to a 1934 decision by the UCI. And UCI, I'm trying to think of what that means.
It's Union Cycling International or something.
Okay, yeah. An international board deciding exactly what who can and can't be cool in bike racing?
Yep, and recumbents are bad according to them.
According to them, but fuck them. They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, they're going to finally let people ride disc brakes next year on the road races.
Finally.
Yeah. Okay. It's really going down the Alps with carbon wheels and disc and
caliper brakes. Let's put some heat on that carbon and see what happens.
Let's see. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going 60 kilometers an hour. Why? Fuck it. Anyway.
The ban on recumbent, says Scott, and other technical advances in most competitions has always irked me, so I like races such as Ride Across America that allow bents. I was thrilled to find out that Australia has a series of HPV races. Again, can I have a help with
human-powered vehicle?
Oh, sure. Vehicle. Oh, I should have gotten that one.
I was thinking high person, but that's...
Yeah, high person human vehicle. Human-powered vehicles. I saw parts of last year's race online. It was a 24-hour race, and I look forward to more when the series picks up in April. So he's got some links to those. We'll put those up. So, yeah, go out. Ride a recumbent. That's what Scott says. Peanut Butter Jar Matt says, why is it that all great adventurers are British? And
Shackleton.
Yes. Yeah, there was a lot of good adventurers. This guy, he sends us a link to a fellow who right before World War II rode from the top to the bottom of Africa and back again. Or maybe it was the other way around. Anyways.
It's going to be fun stitching roads together to do that.
Seriously. I mean, yeah. There are some great pictures of this fellow. He has a fantastic beard.
As you do.
Bringing us... Oh, thank you. I don't.
Well, no, I mean, if you're going to ride Africa there and back, you...
You mean the generic you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like your beard, Brock.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. So, anyways, yes, fantastic article about that. So, also a review from Logan. He sent us a review, I believe, on iTunes, and it says, great podcast, and I look forward to their show. No, I'm sorry, it was on Facebook. Because you can write us a review on Facebook, too.
Ooh.
Great podcast. I look forward to their show every week. Their perspectives foster community and collaboration. And if that's not what we're about, it's what we should be about. I sure hope it is. So thanks, Logan. Awesome. Appreciate that. We also have other show reviews, but we'll get to those next week because I forgot where I put them. But that being said, if you like the show, so here's the thing. Sometimes when you listen to podcasts, people are like, give us a rating on iTunes because it really helps us boost our ratings in the store or whatever. I don't give a fuck about that. Honestly, it's like we do this for anybody who likes the show. And, the best way for people to find the show is for other people who like the show to tell people about the show.
Or are you handing out stickers on beaches?
Or that. Yeah, exactly. But I just want to say it's like... It's not like we're going to compete with This American Life.
Right.
I'm not, it'd be great if we were featured in the top 10, but I don't think we will be. But I honestly don't care. But if you do enjoy it, there is a place you can leave reviews. But really the best thing you can do for us is to tell someone else you know who likes the things we like that, hey, there's some people talking about this. It'd be fun. So thank you, Logan, for the review. We appreciate it. So here, let me raise my hams. to Joe Wheels. Joe Wheels, thank you for coming in.
Cheers, Joe.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Let's just assume that our guys are awesome. Clinked. Oh, there we go.
I can be the bridge.
We clinked on a cosmic level.
Cosmic clink. It's a bridge.
So we got to wrap this up. We got some credits to do. Joe, do you have a theme that we should follow as we read these credits?
I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. David, do you have any ideas what we might do?
Appreciation.
Appreciation. We are so thankful for all of the people that we're about to read the names of. And we really are. That's the thing. Like, all these people, they pay the rent. They helped us get the brand new Mac. I mean, now is probably a good time to say if you donate and you find that it's not in your budget, don't feel like you have to. We still love you. We're glad you listen to the show. If you listen to the show, you don't donate yet, we could still use a couple of coins to pay for this new Mac that we just got. Hopefully it makes the show sound good. If it doesn't, we still bought it. So
we got it,
but we moved from 2006 to 2016. So there's that.
That's
anyways.
Decade.
I mean, I think we all sound pretty good on this.
I think we do. So
I don't know about you, but I sound fucking great.
That's right. We are about to thank all of our donors. So, do you have the list of things we read?
Yeah, I do.
All right. So, what did we decide? I'm doing bold. You're doing not.
This part is not bolded for me.
We
started getting the outro. Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
All right.
Yeah, you do bold. I'll do it non.
Fabulous. Okay. So here it comes. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurtbird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katharina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lee, and Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney.
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen-Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Brunner,
Dave Knows, Chris Smith.
He does.
Dave Knows. Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cueley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista Skukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, Shelly and Troy,
yeah. King of Division, Josh Zisson, and Richard G.
Brush your teeth.
Have a good night. Whatever.